Life Audio.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Welcome to Christian Natural Health with naturopathic Dr. Lauren DeVille. Christian Natural Health is the podcast on how to get and stay healthy, God's way. You'll hear topics on nutrition, exercise, sleep, avoiding toxicity, meditating on scripture, what supplements to take, stress management, defeating anxiety and worry, how to reconcile Eastern medicine approaches with Christianity, and a whole lot more. Now, here's your host, Dr. Lauren.
Welcome back to another episode of Christian Natural Health. Today, I'm excited to have Kim Shapiro with us. Kim is a celebrity dietitian, nutritional therapist, and author with a Bachelor of Science in Kinesiology from Tulane University and a Master's in Human Metabolism and Clinical Nutrition from Boston University. Kim has spent over 25 years helping people lose weight and keep it off, with a giant emphasis on keeping it off, both in her private Los Angeles practice in hospitals, sports clinics, addiction centers, and universities. When she's not helping her clients take back their relationship with food, she is a wife and mother of three children and three pups. Kim often appears as a guest expert for Yahoo, Just Jenny, Sky News, Vanity Fair, Pop Sugar podcasts, and will be happy to pop in and be a guest speaker for your book clubs. That's awesome.
Yeah, so fun.
Welcome, Kim. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the new year and a lot of our listeners have made New Year's resolutions on weight. What do you see as being kind of some of the underlying reasons why a lot of the best intentions don't make it past like month three or sometimes week three?
Or day three.
Or day three. Yeah, something like that.
I think we have very short-term memories. I mean, Can you even remember what you ate for lunch yesterday?
That's a good question. I'd have to, I can if I stop and think about it.
Right. But we don't stop and think about it. And the truth is that we do everything 47% the way we did the day before. Mm-hmm. And so we sleepwalk through most of our activities. And unless we're super intentional and we take action with that intention over and over, we're repeating our history.
That's fascinating. So, and is that just because we're trying not to expend extra energy by, you know, changing things up, or is that the psychology behind that?
I don't think it's intentional that we're not trying to expend. Right. I mean, you're probably right. It's just easier. So if we think about, so yes, it's probably the science and I don't actually know the answer to that. But yeah, that works. Yeah. Because think about it, our whole body is trying to survive every single moment. And so our organs are just doing their thing without us telling it what to do. And our mind is thinking and like really just kind of surveying our surroundings based on what we see, smell, feel, hear, and are touching. Mm-hmm. And it's just easier to sleepwalk unless we're like struck with something new.
Right.
And so every time we're presented with food, if we're busy, then we're just kind of just doing what we did, unless we're so intentional,
right?
Which is why journaling is important.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about how people can create that intentionality in their lives so that we can set themselves up for success.
Yeah. I think like an accountability partner, right? Somebody who you can turn to and say, this is what I did. Yep. So any sort of partnership is great. Even creating like a text chain with a friend saying in a very supportive, loving way, because I think we automatically want to assume something negative or feel bad about it, but coming from a place of love is way better and more empowering. But I think, creating an accountability partner through text chains, through journaling, hiring a professional to help and assist you.
Yeah.
I think setting timers on your phone is really important. I mean, I also tend to ignore some of my timers. I don't know. Yeah. It's like we just get used to them and then we ignore them.
Sure.
So
right.
I think changing it up often is also important.
Yeah.
But I think, I honestly think having a goal and keeping track of how you are every single day aligned with that goal is very important. So, you know, we can rewire our mind almost instantly with practice.
Yeah.
And so, like I use aromatherapy a lot and I love just being in the practice of every time I'm going to go on to my phone, I'm going to take a deep breath and I'm going to use aromatherapy, right? Like finding ways that every time you're about to do something, you're creating a new habit and then just doing it, right? Just practice doing it.
Right.
And if you forget to do it, go back to doing it.
Right. And don't
like, don't beat yourself up.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Right, yeah, because we forget so quickly.
Yeah. And so I've heard that it typically takes somewhere between 21 and 90 days to create a new habit for people, depending on the person. Is that typically what you find? Like if you stick with something for about that long, then now
I think it could be faster. I do think it could be faster. Yeah. I mean, I just think it, like, I think neuroscience actually says that we can change almost instantly.
Right.
And so it's just the reminder that we're practicing change.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Which is really important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Does it feel confusing? Like, how do we, so like, if we talk about gratitude or being grateful for something, and then I'm going to now practice gratitude.
Yeah.
Then, so the way, it's so off topic, but the way you can explain this is that we have a little bit or a limited amount of glue in our mind for our neurons and neurotransmitters.
Sure.
And when we practice a new habit, it kind of steals the glue from the old habit. And
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. And so it has to be like on repeat. And so I think that's why it's really important to probably set reminders and to have an accountability partner to bring you right back to, I was going to practice gratitude. Right. And I think the accountability partner has to be pretty strong to remind you.
Right. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Well, and you have a method. So your website, Kim Shapiro Method, to help people to create these new habits around food. Can you tell us what that method looks like?
Yeah, I want to give you a little bit of background just so you have some idea.
Yeah.
I've been in private practice for like 27 years. And so I see lots of clients originally, you know, will to lose weight, right? They mostly want to come, they want to lose weight.
Right.
And originally when I started this practice, my very first client, I helped successfully put her on a diet and she lost 30 pounds.
Awesome.
And I felt like a superhero, right? I'm like,
sure,
okay,
yeah.
We've now like, we fixed her cholesterol and her blood pressure. And now you're ready to go out in the world and like survive this. And then she said to me, I'm going to gain the weight back.
And she knew that.
She knew that.
Wow.
And I, you know, this was my first rodeo. I was 27 years old. And like I said, I felt like a superhero. And this was not her first rodeo.
Right.
And so what came to be is that she felt that when at this point, her husband wanted to be more intimate with her because of her weight loss. And she had a history of abuse. And I didn't know this going into putting her on this diet plan.
Yeah.
And so she was using her weight as kind of a shield.
Yep. Yep.
And so very early on in my practice, I realized I wasn't going to be able to help people maintain weight loss if I didn't understand the reasons why they were eating.
Absolutely. Yep.
And And so that became actually more important than kale is healthy.
Sure. Oh, of course. Of course.
Right.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And so I had to really help my clients understand where their mind was so that they could get grounded and be present in their day.
Yeah.
So the first thing before we even get into what I call the six simple rules would be to understanding where a person's mind is. And so one of the tools that I use with my clients is to ask them to repeat after me. And I say, where is your body? And then we say right here. And then we say, where is your mind? And at this point, we can actually go and find our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And my clients might say, my mind is on a conversation I had last week, or it's on what I'm going to eat next Thursday for dinner. It's mm-hmm. not right here.
Right. Uh-huh.
And so then we repeat it. Where is my body? It's right here. Where is my mind? And we repeat it until their mind is actually in their body.
Right.
And once they're actually here in this moment, their mind and body is in the same time zone, mm-hmm. then they can actually scan their body mm-hmm. and figure out what they're actually feeling. And they can't actually move forward until they accept they are exactly where they are
mm-hmm. yeah.
without judgment.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah. So it's a mindfulness technique. I mean, it's like the
idea. It has to be.
Be fully present so that you can actually tap in and get the wisdom that's inherently there. You just yeah. have to be able to access it, right?
Of course. Yeah. Okay. Because the reality as humans, we all experience between 3 and 5 emotional triggers in the first 6 years of our life. And when we go through something traumatizing, we develop new emotional triggers mm-hmm. that we then are working on and mastering for the rest of our life. And mm-hmm. we do master them and then we develop new ones, right? We couldn't have predicted 9/11, the yeah. pandemic, right? It all affected us differently, but it affected us.
Right.
And so everybody has their own triggers affecting them. And in the way that I like to think about it is food is fuel. Mm-hmm. It is providing us nutrition for our bodies. Mm-hmm. And when we think food is comfort or entertainment or joy or the enemy, mm-hmm. we're usually irrational. It means we've been emotionally triggered. And so if that happens, our mind kind of jumps out of our body mm-hmm. to help us survive this moment and find something a little bit more pleasurable.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we talk about automatic behaviors or the way we did it yesterday, if I felt stressed mm-hmm. and I thought food was a good idea, mm-hmm. when I feel stressed today, my mind is going to say, guess what, Kim? Food is a great idea. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be really important for me to know that my mind is on what I'm stressed about right. and not in this moment.
Right.
And I shouldn't be eating unless I can actually identify I'm hungry in my stomach.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So once somebody's recognized that, like, let's say now they feel like I'm just feeling stressed and I crave sugar because that makes me comforted. Even if you can make that connection, how do you get somebody to address the real root issue as opposed to reaching for the sugary treat?
Yeah. So it's kind of like a reparenting tool, right? We have to be able to say, would I tell my children to eat when they feel stressed?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or what advice would I give my best friend if mm-hmm. they were telling me they were stressed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And then it's probably taking a deep breath, probably trusting that this is going to pass and that you're going to be okay.
Right. Yeah.
And what our mind needs to know at all times is that it's safe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So letting your mind know, actually, in this moment, I'm safe. I don't like this moment. And this moment is tough, mm-hmm. but I'm safe.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the things, if you're craving sugar, mm-hmm. if I say you can't have it, mm-hmm. that makes you very unsafe.
To make it sure. Yeah.
So any type of restriction is totally unsafe. Mm-hmm. And so just saying to yourself, I'm stressed. I'm thinking about sugar. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is I'm thinking about, I'm going to put on hold.
Mm-hmm.
I can come back to it. But yeah. I only eat when I'm physically hungry,
mm-hmm.
not because my chest is tight.
Right. Yeah. So if you put that on hold for a few minutes, you're not saying no to yourself. You're just right. saying, I'm going to sit with this discomfort and I'm going to process the emotion that comes up. Do you find that on the other end of that, a lot of people decide not to have the sugar after all?
Yeah. So if we get into the 6 simple rules, the first rule is to eat when you're hungry.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, you know, nobody's really hungry mm-hmm. for a cookie.
True. Yes.
Yeah. And so normal eating is sometimes eating a cookie, right? Or a birthday cake or ice cream. That's yeah. normal.
Right.
But most of the time, you're mm-hmm. not hungry for that. And right. so we're jumping ahead to talk about cravings even sure. when you have yeah. to understand, but like, why are you craving this? Is this because you've already had some today or the day before?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. now you're having physical withdrawals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And could you say to your mind, I'm not really hungry. I know it sounds like a good idea, but I'm not having it today. And mm-hmm. what will happen? Right. And generally, we won't remember that we were even thinking about that cookie. Mm-hmm. Because like right. I said before, we can't even remember what we ate yesterday.
Sure. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you find that people need to substitute a different behavior or activity or something when that craving comes up?
I think people jump to that conclusion that they should, and I don't want them to.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So what alternative do you recommend? Just kind of sitting. Yeah.
And like what I mean, and I think we're on the same page, but like, let's say somebody's craving a cookie and then they recognize they're not hungry and then they substitute it for an orange.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So now they've rationalized that the orange is healthy.
I see.
They're also not physically hungry. And so anytime you eat and you're not hungry, I would argue that it's not healthy, even though it might have vitamin C.
Sure. Absolutely. Right. Yeah.
So if you're saying I'm stressed and now I want to find an activity that's going to be better suited for that. Absolutely.
Sure.
Right. But substituting.
Yeah. Something else that also isn't solving the problem.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you're in discomfort in your body and your mind is telling you there's like a shiny, pretty object outside of your mind that looks like an orange or, you know, a cookie, then I would remember, like remind you, you want to bring your mind back to your body.
We are.
So you can feel the stress and say, this is okay. I can deal with this. I don't like it, but I have everything I need inside of me to handle this moment.
Yep. That makes sense.
Over and over.
So step one is eat when you're hungry. What's
So it's a little bit longer than that. So it's eat when you're hungry. Take your normal portion. Not the portion on the label or what the chef prepared. Your normal portion, cut it in half. And put that other half on hold and wait 15 minutes to see if you need more food. Yeah. So there's a fail safe.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So and a lot of people become very fearful when I say eat half. Which is also, I understand the fear, especially if you've come from restriction. But you need to be curious to see why you're even eating it. Is it because you're hungry or because it tastes good?
Yeah.
You need to figure it out. Yeah.
And if you create that little bit of space, then that gives you the opportunity to tap in and recognize.
You got it. Exactly. Yeah. Rule number two is to eat what you love with the caveat that you have to eat the foods that love you back.
Okay.
Only when you're hungry, starting with half.
Yep. That makes sense. So, and the foods that you love that also love you back. In other words, just, are there some things that, cause we're trying not to restrict. So what if somebody super craves potato chips, which are, which don't love you back?
Does that mean maybe they do love them back? Maybe they're not, you know, like I think a dietary pattern, the sum total of everything you're eating is far more important than having potato chips occasionally.
Right.
Yep. And so, having a diet that's well-rounded and your body doesn't have any inflammatory signs means that chips are going to be like a non-issue in your day. But if you're somebody who has headaches, runny nose, clearing your throat, heartburn, bloating, nausea, any digestive distress, gas, bloating, diarrhea, constipation, itchiness, psoriasis, eczema, and joint pain, right? Any of these, then as I'm clearing my throat, then we have the question, does the food love you back?
Sure.
That makes sense. So, you know, some people can't tolerate potatoes. Some people can't tolerate the oils in the potato chips. And so it's not just the potato chip. There's so much involved.
Right.
But when somebody is also saying, I should eat that, I shouldn't eat that, I can't, or it's healthy or unhealthy, then we're actually dealing with a whole bunch of emotional trauma. And this rule really teaches you to trust that food is food and that dessert is food and that pasta is food and a banana is food.
Right.
And if you start seeing everything as food, then you actually can move into the direction of how does that banana make me feel?
Right.
Right. Not sensationalizing anything.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's next? So,
rule number three is to eat without distractions.
Oh, I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so we eat because the food is in front of us. And we tend to do that 30% more than if it wasn't in front of us. We tend to eat because of emotional reasons, because we're craving something and for hunger. And so I try and teach my clients just to eat for hunger.
Got it. Yep. Yeah. And so if you're distracted, then you're not able to check in and recognize that you're eating for the right reasons.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
And you're also probably not satisfied that way too, right?
Definitely like not satisfied.
Eating.
Yeah.
savoring.
I mean, we tend to eat 3 to 5 times a day. We have 21 meals a week. And, you know, as I keep repeating, we don't remember them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I know a lot of people who can't wait to get on the couch with a bag of pretzels and mm-hmm. just chill out for the day.
Yeah.
And so I would urge them just to take those pretzels to the kitchen table.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're going to find is that's really boring.
Yeah.
Even though they love right. the pretzels. And
right.
so then why are you actually eating it?
Right. Yeah.
That makes sense. And it's more of an opportunity to figure out like, what is it you really need?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So
rule number 4 mm-hmm. is 10,000 steps every single day.
Good. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. The average American gets about 3,000.
Is that right? Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the real goal is 7,000. Mm-hmm. And that decreases your risk of almost every disease and sudden death by 50%.
Wow.
But what I have found is that if you get 10,000 steps, this helps you maintain your weight for the mm-hmm. rest of your life.
Yeah.
So although we need 7,000, I really think we need 10.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And always shoot higher than the lowest bottom rung, of course. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're somebody who really is averaging 3,000 and 10,000 feels like tremendous, then really just work on progress
mm-hmm.
and adding a little bit more every day. You don't have to be perfect,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. But keep adding.
Yes.
Good for you. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then rule number 5 is 8 cups of water every single day.
Right.
And this is how we naturally detox every one of our cells and organs.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I call it the secret sauce, because if we don't drink enough water, we can't actually lose weight or keep our weight off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then the last rule is sleep, 7 hours of sleep, which the recommendations are between 7 and 9, but mm-hmm. the average American gets 6.5, and mm-hmm. we can't lose weight and keep our weight off if we don't get sleep.
Inverse relationship between BMI and hours of sleep. Absolutely. Yeah. That's huge. That is absolutely huge.
And so that's it. That's what you need in order to get healthy and stay healthy.
Really set yourself up for success. That's great. Yeah. So, and let's go back to that story of the client where you have them finally with their mind and their body in the same space, and they begin to scan and say, what is it that I'm feeling right now? Is the idea mostly tapping into the emotion and recognizing what's going on? Or is it to say like, I have aches and pains? Or what do they do next? Like, how do you actually guide them through that process?
Yeah. So I think honestly, the goal would be to accept,
mm-hmm.
right? So if we ignore what we're feeling, we're not going to be successful.
Sure,
and
yeah.
So of course, I do think it is to know I'm feeling my chest is tight, you know, I'm having joint pain, or I'm worried about the world, whatever it is that they're feeling.
Right.
And then what I would recommend, let's say that they're stressed, is to dedicate time in their day
mm-hmm.
to getting help to relieve whatever is going on with the stress, instead of constantly ignoring it and their mind jumping out of their body to like have some sort of pleasurable
sure.
moment.
Right.
But really understanding what hunger feels like, mm-hmm. that it's not painful, that it's not scary, that it is a message that your body is giving you that it's time to refuel, just like having to pee,
right?
Right. Nobody wakes up in the morning and thinks, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to pee 6 times today and I'm freaking out. I don't know where the toilets are. And like, what if I don't make it?
Sure.
Right. Like every day we have to pee 6 or 7 times, and none of us worry about it. And so if we start recognizing that there's food everywhere mm-hmm. and that we can get food,
mm-hmm.
and we don't actually need to be stressed about undereating.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And also, you know, like really trusting that process of I can eat again without restriction.
Yeah.
And also trusting food in general. I think there's a lot of confusion
mm-hmm.
over what to eat.
Right.
And I think it's much simpler than it needs to be.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. What's your opinion of like the Wegovy Ozempic trend?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Because I think it's a life raft for many people.
Mm-hmm.
I am totally terrified that people are going to get off the medication and not know how to sustain it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that metabolic syndrome X is the most important focus for what we should be focusing on as far as our health. Mm-hmm. So metabolic syndrome is when a person is overweight, mm-hmm. it causes, you will see a spike in their blood sugar, mm-hmm. their blood pressure, their cholesterol, and their triglycerides. Mm-hmm. And when they lose weight, all four of those problems go away, which tells us that this is a weight-related and diet-related disease mm-hmm. that we can turn around. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so what you're finding on these semaglutides is that people are getting off their medications. They're eradicating diseases, mm-hmm. which are diet and nutrition related. Sure. So this is fantastic. But if they're not paying attention and they're still confused by nutrition, we have a major problem.
Right. You're just going to bounce right back to where you were, just like with massive weight loss in most cases with the extreme.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So I think the focus needs to be, like, there needs to be a very strong focus on sustainability, and people need to stop focusing on fads mm-hmm. and focus yeah. on what does our human body need and require yeah. to be healthy. And you can't argue with mm-hmm. what it needs.
Yeah. Yeah. That definitely makes sense. So what have I not asked you that you would like to make sure you leave with our audience?
I would say that I hope everybody knows that it's easier than they think. And they can handle, they can do the hard things.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Very cool. Yeah. Where can people go who want to learn more about you?
They can find me everywhere at Kim Shapira Method. So Pinterest, LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, all the places. And then my website is kimshapiramethod.com. Yep. And I have a book, This mm-hmm. Is What You're Really Hungry For, that hopefully will give people lots more insight. Yep. And group sessions and individual counseling. Fantastic. And a masterclass out.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so, lots of things.
Yeah. So I will link to your website and your book in the show notes. And thank you so much for this. This has been really encouraging. I appreciate your time.
Great. Thank you for having me. So fun.
Are you looking for a holistically minded healthcare practitioner who truly treats root cause rather than symptom suppression? Unfortunately, even in the alternative healing professions, this isn't a given. That's why I've created wholehealthdoctor.com, a resource to help connect patients to healthcare practitioners in their area who share a root cause philosophy. Alternatively, most of the practitioners listed also practice telehealth. So if there isn't anyone local to you, you can still find a great practitioner to help you regain optimal health. Go to wholehealthdoctor.com. That's wholehealthdr.com. Type in your location or just the specialty that you're looking for and find the practitioner who's right for you.
Thanks for listening to Christian Natural Health. This show is run by you, so please write in with topic and guest suggestions for future shows. For more great content, subscribe to Dr. Lauren's blog at www.drlaurendeville.com or follow her on Facebook or Twitter at Dr. Lauren Deville. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to share it with your friends and give us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It really helps us to stand out so other people can discover great content as well. Have a great week and God bless you.
Hey everybody, I'm Dale.
And I'm Tamara.
And we're hosts of the Kynos Project podcast,
where we help you tackle ancient Christian truths in everyday settings.
The word kynos means new, and that's exactly what we want to do on our podcast, bring something new from what is old in our faith.
And on this show, you might hear us explore topics like what the Bible has to say about student loan forgiveness, discuss how the Satanic Temple affects our view of religious liberty in America, or even question why is it that so many people are having rapture anxiety.
To learn more about the podcast, go to lifeaudio.com.